Chapter 1. It was early evening on Thursday, the first week of July, and Alexa and I were walking through San Julian Park in Skid Row, on our way back from the LAPD Central Division Jail. Homeless men in tattered coats swung bloodshot eyes in our direction, tracking us like government radar. We were returning from a training day in jail transport procedures. The retraining had been mandated after a Mara Salvatrucha gangbanger named Hector Morales got bludgeoned to death while shuffling on a drag line through the underground tunnel that connects the jail to the 5th Street Courthouse. A rival Hispanic gangbanger had done the work by somehow slipping out of his waist restraints and hitting Hector in the head with a cut-down chair leg from the jail cafeteria. He'd been hiding the weapon inside the leg of his orange jumpsuit. The Professional Standards Bureau, our new media-friendly name for the Internal Affairs Division, investigated. All supervisors and detectives above grade 2 were ordered to undergo a refresher day on incarceration and transfer tactics. Alexa and I were dressed in grubbies, jeans and old sweatshirts, but before we were 20 feet into the park, everybody there had made us for cops anyway. Tony says this surgery is no sweat, but you can tell he's scared, Alexa was saying as we stepped carefully around some dog shit, a pile of trash, and a sleeping homeless couple. She was talking about the upcoming heart surgery our chief of police was scheduled to have tomorrow morning. Bypass surgery is getting to be pretty common, I offered. It's natural to be scared, but he'll be okay. Is it me, or does this park smell worse than ever? Alexa said, changing the subject. Like a big outdoor latrine. July heat, I answered. It always smells worse in the summer. We walked past a line of portable toilets, which were called Alice's by the people on the row, because Alice Callahan of the Las Familias del Pueblo Community Center had badgered the city council until they finally funded their installation. In a vengeful act of municipal retaliation, the toilets were rarely cleaned out, but nonetheless served both physical and commercial needs. A lot of drug and prostitution deals were consummated within the smelly 3-foot confines of those portable johns. I'm going to check my messages, see if I have a meeting that was supposed to be set up tonight, Alexa said. Then, if there's time, I'd like to run over to the hospital and see Tony on the way home. Parker Center loomed before us like a drifting glass iceberg, a huge box of a building with absolutely no architectural significance. One of the strange anomalies of Los Angeles was that the Central Division Jail and the Police Administration Building were contiguous to the city's 50-square-block section of blight known as Skid Row. Alexa and I stepped off the curb where an ageless man wearing tennis shoes with no laces and a greasy brown poncho was ranching quarters out of a parking meter, a practice known as spanging. I hope Tony gets back on the job before 2 months, I groused. I can't stand the thought of Great White Mike being in charge of the department. I had a recent and unrewarding history with Deputy Chief Michael Ramsey, who I viewed as little more than an ambitious power junkie in a braided hat. Mike's okay. Just a little jacked up, Alexa said, smiling slightly. My wife is the head of the Detective Services Group. I'm a Detective 3 assigned to Homicide Special, so technically she's my boss. She's about to make captain and is 3 layers above me on the department flowchart. All of which means I get to put out the garbage on the job as well as at home. Just kidding. We finally left the squalor of 5th Street, known as the Nickel, and headed toward the air-conditioned sanctuary of the glass house. Brown burlap slowly gave way to starched blue as we entered the marble lobby. We got on the elevator, and since it was empty, I gave my beautiful wife a kiss. She has long black hair, high cheekbones, and is one of the most striking women I have ever come across. She could easily have made her living doing fashion shoots. I, on the other hand, look like I got emptied out of a vacuum cleaner. I'm 5'11 and a half, lean and gristly. Topping this unholy collection of scars and medical mistakes is a hammered flat nose and short black hair that never quite lies down. All of this makes me resemble a club fighter who stayed in the ring too long. It's a miracle Alexa ever agreed to marry me. But then, if Julia Roberts could once marry Lyle Lovett, I guess anything is possible. The door opened on four, and two young patrolmen got on, so we cut the funny stuff, and I said goodbye. See you at home in about an hour and a half, Alexa said as I got off on that random floor and pushed the down button for the parking garage. 5 minutes later, I was in my freshly leased silver Acura MDX, enjoying the new car smell as I headed out of the administration building parking garage on my way home. A bleak landscape of urban blight and human misery passed by outside, but I was oblivious with the windows up and the AC on.